under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network. Listen online at ILoveTheTruth.com. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion as we face the issues each and every day. By the way, in case you do not know it, I believe today is the first day for early voting in Duval County, and it's my prayer that you'll get out and vote. For quite a number of years, I've said that I like the voting day. I don't like early voting. But it appears that if we're going to get the votes in, we need to promulgate and push voting. In fact, in a joking, not serious, but joking way, I say we need to vote like the Democrats soon and often. But as you know, we vote one time, and that's sufficient. But we need to vote. And so it is my prayer that you will have studied the candidates, you will have given prayerful consideration over each of the issues, and especially with the six amendments that's on the Florida ballot, that we as citizens are going to be called upon to vote on. We're going to talk about those six, one at a time, on the broadcast today. We've got several other things that we'll be discussing in relationship to the election and what we need to do. We're talking about politicians, pastors, and patriots today. Politicians, pastors, and patriots. And the bottom line is, should pastors be involved in the political process? I've read in the past few days several articles about whether or not pastors should be involved. You'd be surprised, ladies and gentlemen, the number of so-called Christians, the number of denominational leaders, the number of churches and pastors that will advocate their responsibility of voting by simply saying that we need to tell people about Jesus. We don't need to get involved in the politics. In fact, one preacher said that politics are wicked, evil, dirty, and we ought not to be involved in them. Listen. Political events are wicked, evil, and dirty because Christians are not involved, because we're not the salt and light becoming involved in the system that we're in. We're in the system that God has allowed us to have as citizens in America, where we the people have the right, the authority, and the responsibility to vote those that we would have to lead us into a position of leadership. So we're going to be talking about some of these issues today. Then we're going to look at the six amendments. We've got someone here, a couple of people that's going to be introduced in a moment, that's our special guest today. And we're going to talk about these things, and the focus is going to be, ladies and gentlemen, on politicians and pastors and patriots. How should we, Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 33:10, how should we then live? We ought to recognize, in fact, in the Timothy text, 1 Timothy, I believe it's the second chapter, says we need to pray for those that are in authority over us. And then the next verse says that we might live a quiet and peaceable life. If we do not vote for the right person, if we do not pray for God's divine intervention, then how are we going to live a quiet and peaceable life? I'll be honest with you. I say, God, remove all of those wicked, evil political leaders so that I can live a quiet and peaceable life. So I pray that you'll join the broadcast today. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. Right after the brief monologue, we'll open the lines and allow you to give us a call. Join in the dialogue discussion. How are you going to vote? Why are you voting? Why do you think so many Christians are not voting? What will, in your opinion, promulgate and push Christians to the ballot box to cast the ballot? In fact, I believe that it is time we stop being silent as Christians. In fact, I believe it's time that churches start going back to the policy and the procedure that was used back in the 1700s when the pastor would preach a message. It would be typed, if you will, put on a large bulletin board in the center square of the little town or the city so that the politicians knew exactly what the pastor said about them in that Sunday's message. I believe it's time that we do that. Stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. And ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you that we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inner word of God. I call it the truth book. As Jesus spoke to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, he said, "If you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Let me just do a little taking apart of those two verses. Jesus says, if you continue, stay, constantly dwell on and in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. That means you're truly a disciple of Jesus. And evidence of being a disciple of Jesus is staying in the word of God. And then it further says, and then you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. It's staying in the word that illuminates our hearts and our minds with the truth as to what we need to do as believers today. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, God gives us a declaratory statement about his word. John 17:17, the scripture says, "Thy word is truth." Psalms 117, verse 2, the scripture says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." That's a pretty long time, forever. It was the secularist George Orwell that made the statement, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." If truth bothers you, that is because we've drifted so far from the centrality of truth. We need to understand that truth matters even today, even though in some circles it doesn't seem that truth matters. Kamala Harris doesn't believe that truth matters. Tim Walz doesn't believe that truth matters. And Joe Biden doesn't believe that truth matters. They feel that somehow, some way, they can promulgate a lie, and that's okay as long as they're not fact-checked by the socialist Marxist media that's out there. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made a powerful statement. In fact, a headline from DeMint says, he warns America of the decline of America is linked to the death of truth. Jim DeMint made this statement, "Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation today." But ladies and gentlemen, there's a caveat to that. According to the recent survey, 55% of the millennials, that's 18 to 35-year-old age group, say that Americans need to understand there's no absolute truth. They say no absolute truth. That number is 55%. And ladies and gentlemen, this is their summation. Each person determines his or her own version of truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And I believe that's what we need to do even today, is stand for truth and understand that truth matters. Truth matters whether you're in political realm or the Christian realm, whatever realm that you're in today, we need to understand that truth absolutely matters. It's a sad scenario when there's a mindset among even, it's bad enough in society in general, but even as Christians, where there's a mindset in denominational dogma, the truth does not matter. But I believe it does. I believe it's time we recognize that and stand on it. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. There's a 165-foot flagpole on the campus of Tools for Time. Top of that flagpole is Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole at the base of the flagpole, ladies and gentlemen. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, this election is just a few days away. I believe something like 13, 14 days away. And as we cast our ballots either on election day or in early voting, we the people will determine what kind of government we get. The way we vote gives us the government that we deserve, if I can say that. I believe there are a lot of folks listening today that perhaps you're saying, I don't know how to vote. Well, I don't tell you to pick up the telephone and call our church line and ask, but I was absolutely amazed and rejoiced that just last week, I believe it was either Thursday or Friday after the broadcast, I had three or four people call and say, would you mind going down the ballot and tell me how to vote? I don't mind doing that any day of the week. But listen to the radio. Let me tell you how to vote. And there's some folks get a little upset with that. In fact, I've had preachers say, you know, I don't think as pastors we need to tell people how to vote. I disagree. I'm going to tell you how I vote. I'm going to tell you how I believe you should vote. Then you can vote as you feel God directing you. But I'm here to tell you, I believe it's time that Christians and pastors and churches stop being silent about the issue that is so vital for the destiny of America. I believe it's time that we stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. But in these last few days, ladies and gentlemen, I'm amazed as I watch cackling Kamala and her rhetoric that's increasing each and every day. Listen, it's an impossibility for any sane American to sit in silence this election cycle, in my opinion. There's a full-blown demonic battle that's raging today in our great nation. And that full-blown demonic battle is over the very heartbeat, the very soul of America. The destiny of America is in your hands and in my hands as we cast our ballot for this election. And perhaps you're saying, well, preacher, don't you realize that Christians ought not to be involved in the political realm? Listen, go back and study the scripture. God created government. In Genesis chapter 9, he gave us capital punishment. God said, if you murder someone, you need to be put to death. And you find in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, God gives us the reason that he has ordained and set up civil government. Civil government, in succinct statement, is designed to protect the good and to prosecute the evil. We've reversed that under the Biden administration. The reversal of that started under Barack Hussein Obama, the legitimate, illegitimate, illegal seated president in the Oval Office. Joe Biden did not get elected by so-called 81 million more votes than America. May I say to you, I believe that we have had two imposters, what would be called candidates that assume the office without the direction from the citizens in America. But may I say to you, there's a full-blown demonic battle raging. And some are saying that pastors and Christians ought not to be involved in it, that we need to just sit in silence. The so-called evangelicals for Harris, ladies and gentlemen, attempting to get voters to believe that Kamala Harris has some faith values. In fact, it was Franklin Graham that said he couldn't see anything Kamala Harris that indicated a faith value. And I'm looking at a headline, Meet the Evangelicals Trying to Make Case for VP Harris. Evangelicals for Harris is making the case that Kamala Harris lives up to the biblical, I have to laugh, lives up to the biblical values of love and compassion far better than Donald Trump. Donald Trump won the support of more than 80% of the white evangelicals in 2016 and 2020, but a new group is now trying hard to push some of those voters toward them, Democratic nominee Vice President Kamala Harris. The Political Action Committee Evangelicals for Harris is running a series of digital ads, including one that shows an archival video of the late evangelical preacher Billy Graham, in which he asks, have you been to the cross and said, Lord, I have sinned. And they use that clip from 1988 from Billy Graham, and they use it out of context. And Franklin Graham, that's now running his dad's ministry, Franklin Graham now, through their attorneys, have already put the evangelicals for Harris on notice that they have infringed on a copyrighted material, and they cannot do that because they tweak it in such a way that it makes it look as though Billy Graham is saying okay for Kamala Harris. ladies and gentlemen, there's a question in relationship to that about her faith values, as she wants us to believe. I'm looking at a headline, NFL legend Tony Dungy uses the Bible to fact check Kamala Harris claims. What faith are you talking about? Legend Tony Dungy says. The famed football coach Tony Dungy recently delivered a pointed response to Vice President Kamala Harris after the Democratic presidential nominee again implored people of faith to support her abortion rights. Quote, "One does not have to abandon their faith or deeply held beliefs to agree. The government, and certainly Donald Trump, should not be telling women what to do with their own bodies," Harris said. But Dungy, Tony Dungy, said, who has coached both the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Indianapolis Colts and has been outspoken about pro-life activists. "Dear VP Harris, I hear you make the statement all the time," he responded. "Exactly what faith are you talking about? You don't abandon your faith to approve abortion. So how do you do that?" That's the question. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the question that ought to be on the hearts and the minds of every listener today. Do we abandon our faith in order to make a decision to vote? Do we vote based on personality contest, or do we vote based on political values? Or do we base our vote on the Word of God, what God's Word says? That should be first, foremost, and final. That should be the absolute apex of our decision-making of what we need to do and how we need to vote. Ladies and gentlemen, many would-be voters appear to believe that it's okay for an anti-Bible, anti-morals, anti-ethics, anti-God candidate. How do you vote for that? How do you cast a ballot as a Christian? How do you cast a ballot for something like that? Listen, we have stated many times on this broadcast that a Harris administration will destroy our freedom of speech, our religious liberties, and will censor all that is said and done. I've got document after document after document that can validate all that I'm saying in relationship to that. Ladies and gentlemen, if you think it's difficult on Christians today, as Little Boy says, you ain't seen anything yet. If Kamala Harris by some fashion gets in office. In fact, I go back to a statement by the Apostle Paul. Then we're going to introduce our guest. And we're going to bat this back and forth. We're going to talk about the voting and whether or not politicians and pastors and patriotism is on the line in relationship to the vote. But in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Galatia, where they had started embracing false teachers, false theology, false doctrine, with false leaders. Hear me. And the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth?" Now, that word bewitched is a fascinating term in the Greek text, ladies and gentlemen. It simply means, who's misled you? Who has fooled you? Who seduced you with charming words? Let me go back over that again. Galatians 3:1, the Apostle Paul speaking to the believers, the church at Galatia, where they had started embracing the Judaizers, the false teachers. They had started embracing non-truth. And Paul said to them, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth?" That's my question today. Who's bewitched you? Who's seduced you? Who has charmed you? Who has given you the charming words and seductive words to cause you to believe? Is it Kamala Harris? If it is, ladies and gentlemen, we need to go back and check up on our faith. There's no cliche that I've used for less than 100 years. The faith that falters before the finish had a fatal flaw at the first. So if your faith can falter and you can embrace murder by way of abortion, there's something wrong with your faith. We could ask this question today, ladies and gentlemen, for anyone considering casting a vote for the Harris-Waltz candidacy. Are you doing it because of demonic seduction? It's Christians, churches, and pastors, and patriots today that I believe need to stand as never before. May I say to you, it is time that we take a stand on the truth. I'm delighted to have with us today, ladies and gentlemen, a couple that we've come to know and love and appreciate. We've had them on the broadcast with us before. We've got Lori and Jim Crandon, And I'm thankful they're faith leaders today with Citizens Defending Freedom. And I'm going to introduce them and say, Lori and Jim, thank you for being here. It's my delight.
Well, it's a privilege, Dr. Youngblood. Thank you for having us again.
Looking forward to this journey together. I am praying, Jim and Lori, that God will divinely intervene and give us the right candidate for the office of president, and will give us the right decision, especially on these six amendments that we'll talk about in a moment. And in saying that, I'm amazed at the mindset of some preachers. I read an article, and I don't have it before me, but I read an article just last Thursday where one pastor laughed at the statement of asking for God's divine intervention in this election. He made fun of that statement that evidently others other than myself have been making. He said that ought not to be even on the agenda. We need to recognize that as pastors and as Christians, we ought not to be involved in the voting process anyway. And if we're asking God to divinely intervene, we're asking God to do something outside of what he wants for the church and for Christians. He went on to talk about how God's called us to tell people about Jesus, and he has. But it's not bifurcating our responsibility. We need to do both. We need to be take our position as citizens of this world, as of this nation, and citizens of our kingdom citizenship that we have, God's already given us. God sees us as Christians already being seated in the kingdom purpose that he has for us, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and following. But there are a lot of folks that do not see that. So, Jim, take a few moments, and if you and Lori would simply tell our listeners who you are, what your responsibilities are in your organizational structure as faith leaders. Why are you involved in? What are you wanting to see accomplished in this election? Just take several minutes to talk about it, introduce yourselves to our listeners, and talk from the heart about this election and the things that you see that would promulgate problems if we don't vote according to God's will.
I'll take that for a second, and I want to turn it over to Lori for a second, too, because that was what you quoted earlier at the beginning. Was it Galatians 5:14?
Galatians 3:1.
3:1?
3:1.
Oh, Galatia, who has bewitched you?
Yeah.
And I'm ashamed of myself. I was thinking about 5:14 and then 5:22 and 3, the fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. But that's a wonderful, wonderful verse, and that's, I believe, what happened. Just to touch on that for a second, and think about what our listening public is doing. And I confess, I'm part of it. You watch a television, and it's a television. It's telling you something. I would encourage my brothers and sisters in Christ, listen to uplifting and beneficial music. Surround yourself with godly people. Read God's Word, because we're going to go out there. As one of those great new books, Metaxas, I think, wrote, don't be a social club for sinners. Be a sanctuary for the saints. Mm-hmm. You're being equipped for battle, and to do that. But to answer your question specifically, I'm the faith leader for CDF, Duval County, Citizens Defending Freedom, and Lori's co-faith leader and keeps me on the right track with things. And then we also own a little ministry called the Carry Cross that we've had. We just celebrated our 15-year anniversary of that. And I work part-time for attorneys, and Lori's also a private caregiver for a wonderful, wonderful family at the beach that she grew up with and knows. Amen. So she has a lot more plates in the air than I do. But our whole mission and focus is, this is way bigger than getting someone elected. That what we're facing, and Lori and I realize this, from a generational perspective, is we need that revival. No matter who gets in office, our Savior's not on Air Force One, and it won't be. And if we think that everything's going to be solved if when Trump gets in office, if we pray he does, it's not. The burden is on the pastors, and the pastors are overwhelmed. So the reason that we are so focused on Citizens Defending Freedom is they have a pathway to give pastors the relief that they're craving. A godly connection with Citizens Defending Freedom Act gives them access to a group called the Remnant Alliance, which it's a handful of organizations that are spectacular. That the very first step, if you said, Jimmy, we'll cut to the chase, what's really going to help the pastors? What's really going to help them is to get plugged in with, first of all, Liberty pastors. It's a free vacation for you and your spouse. You go off to wherever they are. All you have to do is show up, and they put you in a four-day, three-night, all expenses paid at great places. Lori and I went to the one at Liberty University and stayed right off campus. But it's phenomenal people. The head chief, surprisingly, is a Baptist pastor and a former NFL star named Paul Blair. A phenomenal, phenomenal man of God. Brave as can be. I mean, you can almost see the full armor of God on this guy. He's a cancer survivor. He's a wonderful wife and family. But so that's the first step. And it's free. All you have to do is pay to get yourself wherever it is.
Well, it's and $99.
$99. Yeah, well, not for pastors. Well, yeah, pastors, $99. Yeah. If you paid for it, it'd be thousands of dollars.
That's right.
And there's a beneficial guy named Art Alley that is part of the Timothy Plan, which is a Christ-centered investment house for people that want to invest their money per God's plan, and he's a great benefactor and man of God, so he underwrites the rest of the cost. Then once you're plugged in and you realize there are a lot of pastors that are thirsting like a deer pants in the forest, they help me, Lord, tell me what to do and where to go and who to see. These are the people that then do that with you, and then they give you the tools. Can you imagine a workman on the field? One of your sponsors is Tools for a Time. Mm-hmm. If I'm an electrician, or if I'm a plumber, or if I'm a carpenter, or whatever I may be doing, if I don't have the right tool for it, I can look at the situation all day long, but I may not be able to get to it, or it'll be a horrific job. But if I have the right tools and the right people, and I know, as the Bible seeks, seek the advice of wise counsel, this puts you guys and gals on track to do that, to figure out what it is. And it is a phenomenal experience. The Remnant Alliance is also another group of people, Turning Point USA, Liberty Council, the Patriot Academy, which you and I have discussed and yes. I love. And one of our dear friends just bought us this Founders Bible.
Amen.
That was co-written. The stories in it, the history stories, were written by David Barton, who's an American patriot and God-fearing man and a genius when it comes to history and loves the Lord.
By the way, let me tuck this in while you're touching on the Patriot's Bible. I was saddened to see CNN, one of their anchors, interviewed a pastor over the weekend. I think it was either Friday or Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And he had one of the Patriot Bibles. And he opened it up and showed there's the Declaration of Independence. He said, what has that got to do with the Bible? Why is it? And he denigrated it to all extent that he possibly could. Made fun of it that Christians ought not to have that kind of Bible because it involves the Christian thought in the political process. And his position was that it's ungodly, it's unholy, it's wrong. What do you say to a preacher like that?
I say that the pastors that are looking at our current situation that way, they're getting what we're going to know them by their fruits.
Mm-hmm.
We see what's happened since government took Bibles out of schools and Bibles out of businesses and sold the lie of separation of church and state and all the other things that they've done, and we've quietly been complacent. Lori made a note, and when you were quoting that Ephesians verse 3:1,
Galatians.
I'm sorry. Read that, Lori.
The Galatians, when you were talking about that, who has bewitched you or who has fooled you, and someone just said recently, Lori, it's easier to fool someone than to convince them that they have been fooled.
Mm-hmm.
So it's way easier to. I mean, we can all easily get fooled.
It seems for some reason, and I have never been able to figure it out, how, if I can use this term, how gullible human beings are.
Right.
How easily they can fall for a lie.
Yep.
How easily they can embrace that which is unbiblical, untrustworthy, unethical, as we see taking place today in this election.
But it all goes back to the good book. Just think about Israel. What did Israel do? I mean, they had everything they wanted, and during every different part of it and portion of it, he went up on the mountain, he came back, they made a false idol.
Mm-hmm.
They ran out of food. Oh, where's the food going to come from? Where did the food come from? Where did the water come from? Everything that needed to be given to these people was given to them and provided, but they had little faith. Oh, ye of little faith.
Little faith. It goes back to the faith factor. As Christians, we ought to place our faith and trust in God and at the same time recognize our civil responsibilities in civil government that God has ordained and given to us as Americans. We are of all people. We should be thankful for the system of government that God's given us that gives us the right, the opportunity, and the authority to put people in office that's supposed to be making decisions to lead us.
Amen.
But I find it sad to find so many that are silent when they need to speak up. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back, right after the news.
Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WAT.